Yeah.
Okay, but this specifically on the session this morning, on statehood here, and sovereignty. It's an interesting concept that I'm hearing for the first time. I know that Tuvalu has been known, at least in the Pacific, of coming up with innovative solutions to a lot of the issues that we are facing, particularly in addressing climate change. But this issue of statehood and sovereignty, and you talked about it, if change is to be made, it has to be made from within. And you talked about the Constitution. Maybe just go through what is Tuvalu thinking in terms of preserving your statehood and sovereignty.
Yeah. So the science tells us that the current trends of the emissions over the next 30 years, so three decades, by 2050, the majority of our land will be submerged. So
it's not too far away.
Yeah, in Tuvalu. So that would deem our land uninhabitable. So we are talking a matter of decades.
Yes. So in our lifetime now.
This is frightening. This is really frightening. So we have to be practical. Coming these COPs for several years, is now the 30th year of the COP. It hasn't stopped sea level rising. So whatever happens here in the COP won't save Tuvalu. It's already causing the damage in Tuvalu. We know the sea is rising and it's submerging parts of our land. So whatever adaptation options we implement, they may not be fast enough to protect our land from the rising seas. So that's the scenario we are faced with. And as us leaders, we needed to start planning for contingency scenario, worst case scenario, where our land becomes uninhabitable. So we have made a conscious policy to ensure that our land, our maritime zone is preserved regardless of rising seas. We have started off implementing that by making amendments to our national constitution, incorporating in our constitution the need to preserve our territorial and our maritime zones, the physical coordinates, really locked down in the constitution, regardless of sea level.
So currently there's nothing like that in your constitution, in terms of your maritime boundary?
No, it just says Tuvalu is a nation, and it has access to its maritime exclusive economic zone, but it doesn't say how big, what are the parameters, what are the coordinates, and the size of that. And so we are now incorporating that into our constitution, regardless of sea level. So in the event that it becomes uninhabitable, we still have those.
And it's built into your constitution, marked out. Yeah, your boundaries.
Marked out. The physical location and the size, in terms of the coordinates, longitudinal and latitude coordinates. So it's being plotted and physically mentioned in our constitution. At the regional level, we have got the agreement of the Pacific Island leaders this year to adopt a declaration to preserve the maritime zones of each nation. So that's one of the initiatives that work towards protecting our territory and our maritime zones. Tuvalu has entered into bilateral memorandum of understanding with a number of countries across the globe on recognizing and preserving the maritime zones, regardless of sea level rise or sea level rising. We are now embarked on a new Rising Nations Initiative, RNI for short, which seeks ultimately to obtain a global agreement on preserving the sovereignty of nation states, especially for low-lying atoll nations like Tuvalu, as I was describing the context now that in a matter of decades it will disappear from the face of the earth. But wherever our citizens are displaced to, we need to protect and preserve their sovereignty, their identity, their cultural heritage as a nation, as a sovereign nation. And they have recourse to the maritime zone that has already been demarcated in the Constitution for whatever income that generates, that resource generates. So we have a number of pillars under this RNI initiative. Firstly, we have the Heritage Project, where it attempts to capture in multimedia format the rich culture of Tuvalu and the heritage of Tuvalu. And this will be in the form of dances, songs, interviews, cultural aspects of our culture, key cultural heritage sites, a compilation of that uniqueness. Then secondly, it's the designating Tuvalu as a cultural heritage. So Tuvalu would be applying for membership under the UNESCO Convention on Heritage, and we would like to use that heritage compilation project to demonstrate that Tuvalu need to be designated, the entire Tuvalu, as a cultural heritage site. So again, that's a unique.
Yes.
No other country has ever done that, this particular site within the country. But this is the whole Tuvalu.
Yes.
It's going to be designated as a cultural heritage, to preserve the cultural heritage. We have a digital transformation pillar under the Rising Nations Initiative, where we seek to digitize much of our heritage, our identity in terms of citizenship, and have an IT platform that you could, wherever you are,
connect,
be able to communicate and connect as a Tuvalu. And then lastly is this diplomatic political agreement. We realize that it overlaps a number of international conventions. This push that we are trying to fight for to recognize and protect our sovereignty. So it overlaps the convention, cuts across the North to Sea Convention, the International Migration Convention, the UNESCO Convention on Heritage, and a number of. So there is no single international governing architecture that could single-handedly be able to recognize this claim for preserving our sovereignty. It straddles across a number of international conventions. So that's the challenge before us. And this is we are beginning that journey to raise awareness and advocacy, and then work with our legal experts to see how this could be processed
And that will require a lot of experts in terms of international law, because you know this is, like you said, it's going to be a first to explore possible solutions for Tuvalu, what sort of experts, international experts, are you getting to advise and to help formulate this plan and then move it on to, you know, lobbying, creating an awareness globally?
So this RNI initiative has only been launched 2 months ago at the margins of the UNGA in New York by our Prime Minister. So we are now beginning to develop the pillars further, and one of which is the legal, put together a legal team. So it's going to take us time to pull together the legal minds, the legal expertise, to progress our initiative.
Globally, yeah? In terms of your maritime, marking your maritime zones, that's now done and submitted at the UNCLOS office in New York. You already have your coordinates. That's done.
Yes, yes. And then there is a push under the Law of the Sea Convention by the Pacific and other smaller countries to recognize those under the convention, those maritime boundaries. So that is an ongoing activity.
And for Tuvalu, in terms of amending the constitution, what will that process involve? Does it need a two-thirds majority, or in terms of, you know, approval through the process of amending your national constitution to include that?
Yes, so any amendment to the constitution would require two-thirds parliamentary approval. So the constitutional amendment process had begun several years ago, and preserving our territorial and maritime boundary is only one theme or issue among several other aspects of the constitution. So it's a major constitutional reform we are undergoing, and next month in Parliament we are tabling the amendment bill to the constitution that would encompass this territorial integrity of our territory and maritime zones.
Next month, eh? Next month. Just give me some background on the rising atoll nations. Which countries make up the rising atoll nations that you're working with?
The low-lying atoll nations of Kiribati, Marshall Islands, and Tuvalu. As you know, the low-lying atoll nations, you don't have any other means to adapt from sea level rising, especially sea level rising, because it's only barely 1 meter above sea level, and very tiny, so any storm surge would come from one side of the island and sweeps across, and it takes everything in its wake to the other open side, open water on the other side. And the only means to protect against that or adapt to is to build upward. So land reclamation, but raised land reclamation. That technology is readily available in the Maldives, for instance, which is a similarly low-lying atoll nation in the South Indian Ocean. They have built new land, new islands from dredging material and built. And now their tourism is flourishing. They've built a magnificent resort, hotels, on those man-made islands. They have raised land reclamation. So that is our permanent adaptation solution to saving Tuvalu. But what we are now talking about in terms of the Rising Nations Initiative is, should, in the worst case scenario, the seas are rising faster than we can build up our land to protect Tuvalu. That's the contingency worst case scenario we are talking about. We just need to preserve then our sovereignty, our dignity, Tuvalu identity.
Last question, maybe consulting the people of Tuvalu. That's an important process that you would have already considered also. You know, to go out and inform the people of Tuvalu that this is what government is doing. That process is also being done too.
It is very clear, the people have spoken, the community, that no Tuvaluan would like to leave Tuvalu.
Right.
So the Tuvalu community would like to remain in Tuvalu, would like to maintain its identity, its cultural heritage, and live in Tuvalu. So that's why we have that long-term adaptation plan. However, as I'm saying, the science is already telling us that the sea is rising. And if we are not able to get the money from this climate finance, this loss and damage discussion in the COP, sufficiently large enough to protect our land from disappearing, Tuvalu would become uninhabitable. And that's why we need to plan for those worst-case scenarios. This rising nations initiative. Obviously, we would need to go back to the community and explain that this is a worst case contingency scenario planning. In the event the sea is rising faster than us being able to protect our land from becoming uninhabitable.
The non, the fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty, is Tuvalu involved in that too?
So when we talk about the Rising Nations Initiative, Tuvalu is not saying we have given up the fight. We are all together united with our brothers and sisters in the Pacific and across the smaller island developing states to achieve the 1.5 degree pathway. And in this COP, Tuvalu, together with Vanuatu, have co-sponsored the first initiative relating to fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty. So this is a declaration and an agreement to bind countries to phase out fossil fuel, and is inclusive of coal, oil and gas, from targeting the new production of fossil fuel, but also phasing out of existing fossil fuel. It's a new initiative, and we know it's challenging, but we need to begin somewhere. So we have launched in this COP that initiative, and we would like our brothers and sisters from the Pacific to sign up to it, and all like-minded friends and partners from the developed country parties to the convention.
And this would help, you know, those big developed countries, you know, at least reduce their emissions to keep to the 1.5 commitment, eh?
And it's a push to transform economies from fossil-based to green-based economy. So there's technology that exists. So it's investment in those technology to transform economies from fossil-based to renewable energy and energy alternative energy options. And therefore, the benefit of signing up to this non-proliferation treaty on fossil fuel.
And you see a big fight on your hands too, right?
Because obviously, we always expect a challenge for small countries like Tuvalu and others in the Pacific. But we cannot remain vocal, remain quiet, because it's the future of our country that we are concerned about. It's the future of our youth. And it's the injustice that this whole saga is plaguing our countries, when none of our countries is the cause and responsible for causing this problem. But we cannot sit on our laurels. We need to really out here advocate and being vocal about the plight of our future generations.
and collective solidarity from the Pacific will help.
And I think that's a uniqueness of the Pacific. We are united. We have a united Pacific voice because we are all in the same boat.